Okay. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure with pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble and strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound, the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the ways, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave God heed. He gave good heed, and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. In verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So I don't know if you've ever read Ecclesiastes, but you know it's written by Solomon, and he's talking about all the things he's experienced. He's talking about, you know, as a king, all the things he has access to, all the things he can, you know, partake in, and the pleasures of life. And if you ever take the time to read the book, he says many times that, you know, he would do something and he would say, well, it was vanity and vexation of spirit. And he would you know, have a huge play, and it would be entertaining, but it would be vanity and vexation of spirit. Or maybe he'd get a lot of wealth and he could buy a lot of things, but it would be vanity and vexation of spirit. Or maybe he would get you know, different things in our life, or maybe you get a new job, or maybe you know there's things you like, and yet it's vanity, and it's not something that's going to last. You know, it's not eternal. But we come to the conclusion at the end of Ecclesiastes, which is what he says here in the chapters. The conclusion of the whole matter: fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And sometimes we need to understand that a lot of the things in this world are just distractions. A lot of the things we watch, a lot of the things we worry about and we think about also often are just distractions from what our actual duty is here on earth. And that is to keep the commandments of God, and to worship God, and to be subservient to him, and all those things. So that's a big part of just the Christian walk, is realizing and trying to limit, you know, the distractions, and then try to focus more on the important things, focus more on reading the Bible, focus more on studying the Word and getting to know the deeper revelations better and better, so that you're not so focused on the distractions or the new movie coming out or the new book coming out or whatever the case may be, or the sports game last night. But sometimes you need to just remember that all of those things are, you know, it's not bad to have hobbies or, you know, things that you enjoy to do. But remember, all those things are temporary. They're not eternal. They're not going to be everlasting, as the Word of God is. And that the main thing and the most important thing is to fear God and keep the commandments above all else. And I think I've asked y'all, told y'all we're going to have a quiz eventually on the sermon Doors and Doors, so I'm going to start teaching on that a little bit. And one thing that Brother Branham says in the sermon is that, you know, someone was talking to him about, you know, what, Brother Branham, you know what fellowship is? And he said, well, it's two fellows in one ship. And that's part of, that's also a big part of the Christian walk, is being able to cater to our brothers and sisters in the proper way, and to just to be good representations of Christ. And it's, even as he says, you know, keep his command, in Ecclesiastes he says, keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. And one of the utmost commandments that Jesus lays out is, you know, to serve God and God only, but also to love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, and that's a big part of fellowship, is having two fellows in one ship and just being able to truly, you know, coexist and cater to and help out the people around you. And a good, interesting thing about that, that analogy that the brother uses when he says, Brother Branham, fellowship is two fellows in one ship, that we have an expression that goes as, you know, don't rock the boat. And maybe you know this from Connecticut. Maybe this is a good teaching for you since you know about boats. But this is about not rocking the boat. Is if two people are in a boat and you start rocking the boat, when the other person in the boat is going to get upset, they're going to get nervous, they're going to be like, you know, we don't want this boat to capsize. And sometimes we need to think more of how we interact with people as, you know, as we're both in a boat. We need to be in one accord. Even the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree? So to have a sense of rapport or a sense of relationship with those around us, and to not rock the boat, to try and be gentle with people. You know, and sometimes people get, it's good to be, you know, fervent and to be zealous about your faith, but you also have to understand how we talk to people, and how sometimes, you know, if we're too critical, it can be kind of jarring, and that can be a way of rocking the boat. But you want to explain things in a way that's calm and understandable for someone who doesn't get it and maybe hasn't come to that revelation yet, and also just to be patient with them and not to, once again, rock the boat, and using this analogy. So do your best not to rock the boat, but just to be kind. And as the Bible says, tell the truth in love when you are expressing the truth, or even if you're not, even if it's just maybe not even a doctrinal thing, but maybe just the way you deal with people. If you're upset with someone, if you want to communicate something with someone and something's bothering you, or maybe something might be bothering them, you know, you want to always be tender to those situations, especially as brothers and sisters. And even Brother Branham says that, you know, his attitude toward the people showed his attitude towards God. Because if Jesus says that, you know, the best commandments are to love the Lord thy God and also to love thy neighbor as thyself, then the way we treat each other is our attitude towards the Word of God. And that it encompasses that. We can't, you know, be dismissive or be, you know, maybe rude or not care about what other people think and then say that, you know, it's fine, because, you know, some people have this phrase that, you know, only God can judge me, and they say these things. But God has laid out what he wants us to do in his word. So, like Brother Branham said, your attitude towards your other people and the brothers and sisters is your same attitude towards God, because God says to love the neighbor as thyself. So the way you talk with and interact with people and just talk to people and even disagree with people or even try to cater to people when, you know they have certain sensibilities, shows your attitude towards God, because he loves everyone indiscriminately, and our goal is to try and match that love, even though we never fully can until we reach the other side. Our goal is to match that love, the indiscriminate love that loves everyone regardless of anything that they've done, of who they are, if they've upset us, and just to keep loving them in that way. And Brother Bram, you know, Doors and Door also tells a story about when he was camping one time. And a bear got into his camp a little bit, and he enjoys, you know, eating pancakes. So there was some honey in the camp, and the bears got to the honey. And let me read it here. He says, and I hollered at him like that. He turned around and looked at me like that. He couldn't get his eyes open. He was just so full of molasses, you know, all over his eyes, his little belly, just as full of molasses as he could be. And then after a while, he staggered off sideways, run over to his mother. They got him up there in the bushes and started licking him. They was afraid to set at the bucket, but they could lick him. And I said, if that isn't the type of a good old Pentecostal meeting, just get so full of good sweet stuff, they go out and somebody lick off of it. That's a real fellowship meeting. Now we just come like this to get our hands in the bucket, each one of us plumb up to the elbow of God's blessings. So he's seeing the bears have gotten to his little molasses stash, and then they get covered in it because they don't know exactly how to eat it, so they kind of get covered in it, and then they're, you know, some of them were too afraid to go to the bucket, but eventually that they could lick the honey off of, or the syrup, molasses, off of the bear that was covered in it. And so he's once again talking about this the fellowship and just being together as people, and you having an experience with Christ, and then when you meet with other people, they can feed off of that. And even if they don't, even if they don't go to the source itself, even if they're not completely, you know, sure of the source, and some people doubt, but if you can just be full of the Spirit, and then, you know, try and project that Spirit and try and be a good example of that Spirit, and then they can glean off of that. Or maybe the fact that you know, sometimes someone's going through something and then you have a scripture for that because you've been reading your Bible or you've been listening to the tapes and you've been studying, so that now that, you know, when the time arises that someone needs help with something, you have a scripture in mind because you've been reading, you've been studying, and you've been praying, and God's been dealing with you, and then someone has an issue, and then you can properly minister to that in your own little way because God's revealed something to you. So our studying, our praying, our reading, all those things are not just for ourselves, but also to help other people. It's also so that we can convey these things to other people, and not that we, you know, read the Bible and then just keep it to ourselves, or that we, you know, we don't read and then it's harder for God to use you if you're not, you know, you know, staying in the Word and trying to stay in His will as much as you can. And it's not that, you know, we know that we're not saved by works, but when you study and when you read and when you truly get into these things, it makes it easier for God to use you because you're actually taking care and actually getting into the Word and studying it the way you should. And then when something happens, you know, you have that with you. You have that the Spirit that forgetting the scripture, but it's it passes all understanding. That's the scripture, the peace that passes all understanding. And then when things happen and people, you know, need a stable base to go to, you can be there because you're rooted in the Word in a way that you can be a reliable, you know, place of refuge for someone who's going through something. And it's going to be harder to do that if you're not studying like you know you should. And you know, you're putting all these other things before God. You know, you're watching that movie instead of, you know, reading the Bible. You're maybe too invested in sports or too invested in something else, some other activity, and it's taking away time from your reading time, your scripture time. And then it's harder for God to use you. It's harder for someone to glean off of you. It's harder for someone to I guess using the metaphor, lick the honey off of you, so that they can also get a taste of the Bible says taste and see, so they can also get a taste of that. They can also, you know, get a spiritual blessing from that, off of what you read or learned in that way. So we part of being a good neighbor, being a loving our neighbor, is staying in the Word and staying studied up and staying and keeping your knowledge of the Word, you know, and gaining more knowledge, so that when others need help, that you can be there for them. And also just, like Brother Brennan's saying, like they had that's just a good example of a revival meeting, is that we can all get something off of each other. And that's why we come to church. That's why we continually get together. That's why there's meetings and camps and all these things, so that we can all get together, you know, and we're all believers, and we can all kind of fellowship in that, and that we can, you know, glean off of each other and just have a good time in the Lord. And at the end of the day, as Solomon said, that is the whole duty of God. That is the whole duty of man, is to keep the commandments so that we can be, you know, judged accordingly. And we won't have there will be no excuse, you know, at the end time. The Ram later says, he's talking about, I think, a lady who had cancer, and he says, then on that saying, this person here, I see your shadow to death, dark shadow, how many of you has heard that said? Well, they're just recently in a meeting with somebody curious, wanted to see if they could get a picture of that when it was said. So there was a lady sitting close, and this man had a camera. And I said, this lady sitting here is Mrs. So-and-so, whatever it is. I said, she is shadowed to death, but she's got cancer. And just then, he snapped the picture because it was close, and there it was. See that hooded black cancer of death hanging over the woman. And then the Holy Spirit spoke back. Now, when they put this in the book, they had it cut off, so they just put it in there just till they make another printing of the book. And that's why you'll see that loose leaf in there. I think the Voice of Healing was the one who printed the book. So he's talking about, you know, there's sometimes you see in the cartoons, they have like someone's having a bad day and there'll be like a cloud over them and it'll be raining on top of them, but it'll be just over them. And that is a real thing in the spiritual realm, where someone will have a spirit on them and it'll be dark and they in Brother Branham's case, they manage to photograph it. But that's also something we have to consider when people are going through things and struggling, that there's a spiritual aspect to it, and that's why we need to, you know, we can talk to them and we can do our best to do everything we know to do naturally, but we need to confront the spiritual realm. We need to enter into that, because we can talk to people and we can prescribe things and we can say, you need to do this and do that, but ultimately it's a spirit that's on them, and we need to pray for them and encourage the scriptures in their lives, because that's ultimately where all these things go on. I don't know if anyone here has listened to Demonology, the Demonology tapes that Brother Branham, the series that he did on demonology, but he says even all physical things are just physical manifestations of a spirit. So anything, any physical ailment, any fever, even any, you know, headache, even those little things can be physical manifestations of a spirit, you know. And because we are, you know, in this fallen state after the garden, we have to deal with even the little headaches and toothaches and different spiritual things. Those are all of the spirit. And of course, we know depression, anxiety, and those different things are also spiritual things. So, of all the things we do, we also, you know, the things we recommend to people, the things we say, you know, do this and do that, but we also need to confront the spiritual realm. We can't leave that out, because that's a valuable aspect as well. And that's the main aspect that we need to address. And that's why, you know, staying in the spirit and following the commandments and keeping the commandments, as Solomon is saying, is so important. Because, you know, we can try to live righteous lives, we can try to live good lives, but there's always going to be that spiritual realm. And we need someone who can, you know, in a way advocate for us. And that's really the gospel, is that, you know, we had Jesus Christ came and he made the sacrifice for us so that we have an advocate, so that we have something that can prevail against, you know, the gates of hell. And once we get the revelation of who he is and what he did for us, then we can have strength and confidence in that spiritual realm, that he's our protector and he's our guider and all those things. So In our own lives, when we confront things, when we have things that we struggle with, and also in the lives of others, and how we pray for them, and how we approach those situations. Even, you know, Sister Regina was talking about how, you know, I think it was the week before, but she had that testimony of, you know, when she told people about it and they started praying, she could feel the difference when people started praying. Because that's how the Spirit moves. It's, we all join our faith together, and we have to approach that spiritually. Now, we could, you know, people could have recommended a bunch of doctors, they could have recommended a bunch of creams and lotions, and nothing's wrong with that. But ultimately, we need to confront the spiritual realm on those things, because that's where the root of the issue is. It's going to be in the spiritual realm. And once we confront that, and once we pull our faith together, once we're all, you know, in communion, in fellowship, once we're all partaking, once we all join our faith together, and not just that we all come and think good things about Sister Regina, but that we confront God and say, God, a sister is dealing with something, and I pray that you take it away from her. I pray that you give her healing, that you give her peace, and then the thing goes away. It's because we all have to be, you know, walking right in our own lives. So, you know, sometimes people think that when you're through your Christian experience, that you're kind of just on an island by yourself, and that, well, if I don't show up to church, it doesn't really matter. If, you know, if I don't pray, I mean, it's just on me. But it also affects those around you, too. It also affects your brothers and sisters. And that's how we live for each other, is because if I need, that's why, you know, people pray, like, don't let anything I've done, you know, hinder the service or hinder, you know, someone's healing. So really the solution to that is just to take care of it within ourselves, you know, so it's not just enough to say, well, don't let anything I've done hinder a service or a healing, but we need to just be living a life where that we don't have those things to pray about. We don't have to say, you know, don't let anything I've done hinder, because we know that we're right with God. Of course, there's nothing wrong. Of course, we should pray that, but we should also just be living a life that we're confident that, you know, God's been with me, and I've been walking with God. I've been studying. I've been reading my word. I've been praying. And, you know, I believe that person's going to get their healing and not have to worry about the things that we did before service or the things that we did during the week and worry about how that might affect someone on Sunday or Wednesday. And so there's many aspects to this fellowship. But it all goes back to, you know, just keeping the commandments of God, because that's why Solomon stresses this so much once he ends Ecclesiastes, because that is the solution to everything in life, is to follow the will of God. You know, if we're not sure what to do in life and we have any issues with that, we look to the Word. If we're worried about someone and they're struggling with something, we look to the Word and we pray for them and we join our faith together. And if someone has a dark cloud over them, we pray for them and we join our faith together and we pray that it goes away. And if we truly understand what prayer is and who we're talking to, then, you know, we'll truly, once we get that revelation, then, you know, we'll have a lot easier time, because we'll really understand that there's an almighty God that we're talking to and we're praying to. When we bring these things to Him and understand that He's a good Father and that He does care for His children. And if we're walking right, then, you know, as the Bible says, we'll be an invincible army and nothing will ever stop us. So, God bless you. You're dismissed.